When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast. Part of the Decibel Geek Podcast Army. All voices, including those of the host, Loose Cannon and Baco, were impersonated. Now get your rock and your balls ready for another cocktastic episode of Cobras and Fire.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Loose Cannon. I am joined, as always, with the apple-buzzed Baco. How are you, sir?
I am well, and I assume you're talking about the special deal going on at Applebee's all week, all month long, to spike DWIs around the country, where they're selling Long Island iced teas for $1 every day, all day, for the month of December. Check Applebee's.com to see a location near you.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess it's probably some kind of deal to raise tax revenue.
Yeah. For
just tickets.
You know, they're brainstorming at the local police department. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Could you guys sell maybe Long Island teas for a buck? They split the revenue with them from the Deweys.
And then they just got lawyers just lined up outside to get people just handing out DUI cards. I mean, it's a revenue amazing. This is almost better than the Republican tax plan. What do you say?
Yeah, well, it definitely is. You got, instead of a cab stand like out of an airport, you have like police cars just lined up watching people. You got somebody in Applebee's this guy in the green jacket, yellow escort, get him.
That's right.
He said six in 2 hours.
And I just want to, just before we get into the theme of the
Maybe it's a deal with Uber.
It might be. I mean, all these things are definitely related. I see, you know, the 1% rule it all, and the CEO of Applebee's is definitely the 1%. What do you say?
Must be.
Oh, yeah. But no, I can just imagine going there that, you went there today, so what was the, what was it like? Describe the setting.
No, I didn't go to Applebee's today. Come on, it's fucking, how good can a Long Island tea at Applebee's be if it's a buck?
Well, here's how I imagine it, though, is that there's people just all lined up like a trough, pigs at a farm, and they've all got their like mug out, and there's just this guy with a big trash can with an oar, just like stirring it up and just picks it up and just like pours it on the bar, and people just like get as much as they can.
A giant trash bag, and he clips the corner and drags it.
That's what he does. He just drips it out. I didn't get my full dollar's worth. Get back over here. But man, anyway, so let's get down to the story, the theme, the purpose of today's show, and that is...
We're going to honor the late, great Malcolm Young, the recently passed.
That's correct. So this episode is called, in his honor, Rock Balls.
Yes.
Now, I have, I lost my note and I finally found it here. I was looking for it all day, and thank God I found it. Because
true story?
I went, huh? What?
Is that a true story?
It is a true story.
You might want to save that one for the grandkids.
Okay. Anyway, true story. I lost a note, and that is that I want to do an over and under real quick. How many songs by AC/DC from the beginning to their last album have the word rock in the title? I'm going to give you a number. Okay. You just tell me above, over, under. Ready?
Ready.
20.
Under.
Nope.
Oh.
It's exactly 20. Now, I'd like to read these off to you. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
And tell me how many of these you actually remember, okay? So
I'll go ding if I remember it.
Okay. No, let's not do that. That'll be very annoying because it's a long list. I'm just going to rip through it. You just tell me if there's
just
anything.
Just quick dings. Calm down. Anyway, you don't stop. You keep going.
All right, fine. Let there be rock. Rocker. There's going to be some rocking. Rock and roll damnation. Wow. Okay. Rock and roll singer. Long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. And then again, that's with parentheses in there. That's the way I want to rock and roll.
Maybe.
For those about to rock, we salute you, parentheses. Rock and roll ain't noise pollution. Hard as a rock. Whiskey on the rocks.
That one count?
I'm counting it.
I'm saying my under is correct then.
Come on, why not? Hard as a rock. A rock is not hard as a rock has rock in it. It's not talking about that's about his dick, not as much
on
as
the
just
rocks,
rocking.
Come on.
All right, fine. Then that we'll push this through. Can't stop rock and roll. And by the way, that do you know that one to begin with? Can't stop rock and roll.
No.
Okay. It's preceded on the album by Can't Stand Still. So that almost could be a comma in between.
Mm, nice.
Rockin' All the Way.
Okay.
Rock and Roll Dream. Not the one that's on the Jim Brewer album that is also followed by the song Mr. Rock and Roll on that album. Rock and Roll Train. Okay. Do you know that on that song, this is kind of a push too, they never say Rock and Roll Train on that goddamn song.
I do know that.
It's Runaway Train. Why would you call it Rock and Roll Train? Are we just not supposed to understand that that's what he's saying? Or because it get confused with a Soul Asylum song?
Loose.
What?
You just don't understand songwriting.
So tell me the genius of that, of saying Runaway Train, running off the tracks, and then calling it Rock and Roll Train.
You just can't wrap your little tight brain around the concept that the title isn't in the song, man.
No, it's because when you listen to it, he growls and Runaway Train. You can kind of say it's Rock and Roll Train.
He sounded better than he had in 20 years on that record.
Fine. Rock the House. It actually is a song, and it's not a Run DMC cover. Get Some Rock and Roll Thunder. Mm-mm. Rock Your Blues Away.
If you're going chronologically, I can say I don't know the rest.
Yeah. Rocker Bust. Now, just understand, also, fun fact, the last two albums have had seven rock songs in total. Pretty impressive.
Okay.
Balls. How many songs with Balls?
17.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it? No. But I swear it's five, but let me read these down and tell me if you recognize these or not. Maybe I'm missing one. I've got Ball Breaker, Got You by the Balls, mm-hmm. Big Balls, She's Got Balls. I swear there's another one. Anyway, we also have a theme with AC/DC of guns, many songs about guns, dicks, and hell. So those are the main themes. But that would be cool. A total of at least 24 tracks on the Rock Balls album. And we are going to put together, a Spotify playlist prior to this episode that'll be out there with all these songs. Rock Balls. Playlist. Yes?
Go for it. I don't care.
All right. Thank you. What do you got?
It's your life, man.
What are we doing here exactly as far as how we're doing the songs, picking songs, Bacco? You want to break it down for the listeners?
Well, you said we'll each pick our three favorites. So my three favorite will be my three favorite today. There are just too many AC/DC songs. This would change based on my mood. But since I just walked out of an Applebee's and waved on a Lyft to get here, I'm going to pick Have a Drink on Me as my opening track. You seem a little chippy today, Luce. What's on your mind? Something you need to get off that chest of yours?
Yes. I mean, listen to me.
Besides baby oil?
I tried to do the awkward pause. I lost it.
Yeah.
We should say after 100 episodes, this is the first time we've actually used the cameras. We're actually looking at each other right now. Very, very handsome in the morning, both of us are.
Yeah,
don't you think?
I haven't even showered. How about you?
No, hell no. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I got big-ass white headphones, baseball cap, spectacles. It's amazing. What do you think?
You look good.
Oh, yeah. Got the little Cobras and Fire in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
I have a lot of rope light.
Yes, you do. Your camera's... Camera's very blurry. You need to upgrade into an HD, by the way.
Well,
I would appreciate it.
You might be covering it with tape.
That'd be part of it.
Is that any better or not?
Not really. It's really blurry.
It's just a stock camera on here. And yeah, I'm not buying a fucking HD camera for Skype.
Okay, fine. Anyway, New York Groove. So it doesn't look like you've actually changed since the last time I've seen you either. You've got the same t-shirt you were wearing.
You know what?
Amazing.
I rotate about 5 shirts.
Okay, good. So,
other than for special occasions, but once those get in the pile, I just start wearing it.
I look forward to the same outfit every time. I'll do the same.
So what's on your mind?
Yeah, man. So this has been a crazy couple weeks, as usual. What I've decided now, and I think it's not even to do with that. Well, one thing has to do with it, but what I've learned, and I think it's a great lesson for everybody out there listening, is now what I do is I get up in the morning, I stretch, and I just go, fuck my life, right in the beginning, and I get that way out, right out of the way. So when things happen to me throughout the day, I've already said that. I already realized what's going to happen. What do you think about that life lesson, that advice?
If it works for you, great. I'm much more positive in the morning.
Okay, well, anyway,
the birds are chirping. Coffee smells good.
No,
and then I walk outside and I get hit in the face and I'm like, oh, everything sucks.
And then you realize you're going to the same job you have been for 20 years.
Yeah, no shit.
Hey, anyway, are you familiar with the Rotten Tomato scoring system?
Yeah, the movie rating thing? I am indeed.
Yeah. Your thoughts? You like it? Dislike it?
I don't really use it, but yeah, it is what it is. It's a combination of people who bought tickets and movie critics.
Yeah, so it's just like it just puts everything together. You got your critic score, your audience score. I'm not a fan of it, and I'll tell you why. It just in real quick summary is I think it skews people to think that a movie's better than it is. And, you know, if something's down to 15%, yeah, it's horrible. But imagine if they did that on music, that before you even listen to an album on Spotify or iTunes or in the store, you go out and buy the physical store and it has the tomato meter right at the top. Most of our albums would be like, probably for the critics would have like a 20% rating right there. I'm just saying, like, immediately off the cuff without you even like saying, okay, this is a critic that I actually know. Like if you met a douchebag down the road and he said, this movie is great, you would be like, I'm probably not going to watch it. But if you said, if I told you to watch Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, you'd be like, that's a great movie, right?
Great example. I did fire it up because of your recommendation, and I was really upset. So
so you're not going to take my opinion again. But Rotten Tomatoes is just a generic score of like 3,000 or 5,000 people combined, and it doesn't mean that it's 95% great. It just means that the majority of them gave it a higher than average score. But
Temple of Doom sucked.
That's fine. Whatever. American classic.
Kali
so let's go back to that. Would you like to have Rotten Tomatoes expanded to albums when you go look for them?
I mean, I don't really care, honestly. I've never really been a record as a guy who writes a lot of record reviews. I've never used them to guide my purchases.
Well, a lot of people do. So I will just tell you
then
what
no.
I don't. Fine. What I don't like about it, though, is it tells you, it insists certain movies upon you that are supposed to be great. And if you have had a discussion, like I did with my friend, that I did not like a certain movie I just saw, then I am told that I'm a fucking idiot because 95% of people said it was great. That's what I am told. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm going to talk about
the
movie.
Yeah.
Okay. There is what I consider the Radiohead of movies, a sci-fi movie called The Arrival. Are you familiar with this movie?
The title. Is it somewhat new?
Yeah, it came out either end of last year or beginning of this year. But, you know, it has Jeremy Renner. It's got Amy Adams. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to summarize it as two boobless hours wasted.
Well, if Amy Adams are the only boobs available, I think it's best to stay boobless.
Yeah, I mean, whoever likes this movie, I think has just been. This is an example of it. It's a little arty, so it's just enough. So somebody says, "I gotta say this movie is good," not because it's good, but because it's just different enough. Just like you said, what did Radiohead reinvent?
They reinvent, in your words, very eloquently put. They reinvented the wheel and made it square.
That's right.
One of your best lines of 2017.
It doesn't make it better. It doesn't make it more functional. It just makes it different, and that somebody has to say somebody has tried something different.
You know what?
Got it?
To put that same analogy in the song sense, a lot of people talk when they like a song, they mention qualities about it that aren't necessarily a quality. They don't mean anything. Catchy doesn't mean good. It doesn't mean bad. It just means catchy. You know. So I like that song because it's catchy. Well, do you like every song that's catchy? Because a lot of catchy songs fucking suck. And it's kind of like that. A little different than what you're saying, but I just felt like bitching about that.
No, I know. But yeah, so in short, I'm just going to summarize this movie to help our audience out. Again, we're here to help you. We want you to spend your time listening to this podcast, which is much better time spent, let me tell you, than this movie. So if you want to see this movie, if you like watching octopus aliens behind a plexiglass and Amy Adams and Jeremy Renner talking to them with fog, and you want to see them just like make little ink blots for 2 hours, if you want to see Forrest Whitaker frown, if you want to see everything in the dark and everybody looking at everybody seriously, having no kind of character development, ships floating sideways, stories about kangaroos, it's but nothing but fucking bullshit. But I will tell you why I'm bringing this up, and that is, if an alien came down today and landed and were not the boring, foggy octopuses in this movie, the first thing I would do to show them what rock and roll is I would play the opening track, Riff Raff, off of If You Want Blood, You've Got It. So I gotta tell you, I was pretty entertained by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame episode. Just gotta mention it real quick. I highly enjoyed the fact that, you know, Josh suffered the same shame we did in high school with the awkward awkward boners.
Yes,
awkward boners. But I also like that he used the same placement when he would walk with his book in front of him, and also point it upward so he'd have a little bit of a
belly button.
And tuck his shirt in, have a little cock mark right peeking up above the buckle. It's a nice look.
There's a image for everybody.
That's right. But yeah, so with that said, boners. Awkward boners, inappropriate work boners in the workplace. I think you said it, and you stand for. I think you took a big stand that said, You don't think it's appropriate that anybody should see somebody else's penis in the workplace. I think you said that.
I was quoting somebody else. I unfortunately don't remember who it was, but
great quote.
It puts the whole sexual harassment thing in play when you're trying to decide, you know, what's going on right in the world today.
That's right. But go ahead. Continue.
Well, of course, you know, you've heard about Matt Lauer. He's our next guy on the chopping block of, I don't know, workplace deviance.
Boners. Yeah. Well, when this came out, I heard this from the other room that morning. Because my wife watches the Today Show every damn day and has been in love with this man. I'm like, doesn't surprise me.
Good Morning America, so hopefully this doesn't happen to Robin Roberts.
Didn't that one guy already be taken down? Wasn't the co-host? Wasn't he? He was a Rose or?
Oh, he wasn't on that.
He wasn't. That was on CBS.
He was
on
PBS. Yeah,
that was CBS. Okay, continue.
PBS.
Charlie Rose was actually on CBS though.
PBS.
CBS.
I'm pretty sure his PBS.
He was on PBS, and then he was on CBS for their morning show for the last couple years. I know my morning shows because I was unemployed for a good amount of time.
You know what? Valid point. You're the expert.
Okay, continue. You want to quiz me about game shows?
Did you see some of these details, though? He had, like, his own little, like, sex lock. He could, like, lock the door from his desk remotely and just, you know, take his penis out and then, like, admonish an underling for not performing oral sex. Oh, my Lord, it's...
Well, I got to jump in here. You know, like you said, the first thing you talked about, so basically Matt had NBC pay for a penis panic room.
Yes.
Essentially, you hit a button and everything locks. There's probably like the steel, like the James Bond movies, that just go and nobody can get out.
Yeah, he must have got had a visit at Neverland Ranch, and Michael Jackson showed him it. So he's like, I got to get one of these. And
can you introduce me to your guy?
You got a panic room sex guy? Is there some kind of sex alarm that can go off when someone's approaching my door?
Yeah, this is called the Culkin 2000.
Oh, boy.
Inappropriate.
Webster.
Yes, Webster. That's right. Though, what you talking about, Willis? Oh, wait, different small child.
Different undergrown under four black
foot,
child.
Under 4 foot awkward sitcom from the 80s. All right, come on. Let's go. What else you want to talk about for Matt? I mean, he is... Yeah, but I heard that Matt's lawyer or something is trying to get him a $30 million payout, and I think he gets $25 million a year. What are your thoughts on that?
$25 million. I would do that job for $1 million a year and not sexually harass anybody, so I could save their ass all across the board. I'd even shave my head to look like this weird balding but not balding guy.
I know. Like,
what is
just
that?
Just do the whole
anyway?
Thing. I don't know. Like, you now know, he's finally bald.
It looks like a penis. His head does.
That's what it is. He is.
Maybe he wasn't whipping out his penis. People just got a glance of him like,
No, he was just, all of a sudden his shoulders became very stiff and he just leaned forward.
Oh my God,
I'm about to be assaulted.
Matt Lauer just showed me his penis. He's right there fully clothed. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, his penis is wearing a tie.
Oh, but like, my Lord.
I think that, but just to jump in here, we are not making light of the actual people being assaulted at all. We are making light of the fact that this is so absurd. Just make sure anybody listening out there.
If anything, the shit that's coming out, because he's kind of owned it a little bit. this is the it's more appalling that it took this long. I mean, because it's clearly is a pattern. You don't
and people know. Like the day after, they're like 9,000 people came out. Oh yeah, this guy's been doing it for 20 years. What did you have like a statement or anything you wanted to read or?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I'll just kind of I touched on at the end of his he had a soul searching statement on the matter. The ending is what grabbed me. If I can just share that with the listeners,
sure.
The last 2 days have forced me to take a very hard look at my own troubling flaws. It's been humbling. I am blessed to be surrounded by people I love. Thank them for their patience and grace and tube tops.
Are you sure it says tube tops?
That's what I got.
Do you think tube tops are appropriate? I've never seen a tube top on today's show. I don't think so.
Oh, these are off-camera people. A lot,
okay. These are the cameramen, camera woman. All right.
Well, I think we touched on a little bit, but it ties into the whole thing with Gene. You know, we're now starting to realize the Fox News ban, as ridiculous as them being the ones banning them sounds, it's real.
can I jump in real quick before we get into that about Gene?
Yeah.
Just a... did you see the thing about Black Friday? How if you bought his $2,000 vault, what you also got?
Yeah, a personal phone call.
So can you call me as Gene Simmons real quick? Just call me. I want to take that call. I've just bought that thing for $2,000, and just I'm going to answer my phone, and you be Gene Simmons. You ready?
Okay. Ring.
Hello?
This is Gene Simmons of KISS.
Give me my $2,000 back, you motherfucker! That's how I think that conversation would go.
Yeah, something like that. It would. I don't think you'd be getting your money.
I just think that's funny. Like, you will get a call. What are you going to call about? And how is he going to control that conversation? I mean, he just gets calls. He's like, yeah, I got to go. Bye. Thanks for
your money. What are the odds are that he's eating something while he's talking to you?
You just hear him just going to...
Is that rock and bruise you hear like someone like... He's like, one second. I'll take a large tea. And,
Anyway, so let's go on to your discussion about how these things are falling on Gene and
well, yeah, and actually Three Sides of the Coin got into it a little bit, we have Michael Brandvold here. Let him kind of share his thoughts on this.
So as most of us have heard, that well, Gene was there's been some pretty serious accusations leveled against Gene.
Yep.
And Gene was at Fox News promoting his new book.
On power.
And what a lot of people don't understand is that there are people that you don't see working there that they're not actually on camera.
Oh. Yeah.
And reportedly, Gene acted in an inappropriate and offensive way to these ladies.
Sad.
And as a KISS fan, it's disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've looked up to this man.
Right.
To hear these stories of him treating women in such a, let's just call it, lewd manner.
Michael, would you like a Gene Simmons vault?
What is it about all these women coming out with these unfounded accusations all of a sudden? It's like, out of nowhere, suddenly, everybody is a sexist pig. And now Gene Simmons at Fox News, and I'm supposed to believe that you don't have some agenda? It just seems a little odd to me. A lot of people don't understand is that there are people who actually deal with these things. There's no way that Gene even talked to any of these women.
We're just going to kind of dial Mike down. We'll check back with him in a little bit. Maybe he'll wrap that up in the meantime. Let There Be Rock is one of my favorite AC/DC songs today.
Sure.
A title track, too. I'm a big fan of title tracks for bands like AC/DC. How many of the records have title tracks, Luce? Do you have that stat in front
of
you?
Man, that is a good one. I'm going to say at least half off the top, or maybe probably 75%, actually. Let me just kind of think about it. Do you mind if we just run down just kind of a little bit?
Yeah, why don't we,
after we come back.
We'll let the listeners think about it, and we'll have the answer right after this. Let There Be Rock! We'll be right back.
There's a part in that song that's so raw and perfectly recorded where there's that break right before the solo, I think, or maybe it's in the middle of the solo, where it just hears that, like the feedback, and then it just goes, where is that? Is that the beginning or just in the middle of the solo?
I think it's right after the guitar solo.
The first solo. Yeah, because I think there's three guitar solos in that song.
Yeah, that song is heavy on music without a lot of changes. It's weird how well that flows. Pure rock and roll.
And that kind of goes into how I picked some of mine, was I kind of went with the riffs for the Malcolm Young part because, well, there's nothing really out there about AC/DC as far as facts, pretty much. I mean, they're like one of the biggest rock groups of all time, but you really don't know anything about them, right? As far as personalities, anything like that, except that they do meth, they do...
not a lot of imagery, but just enough.
Yeah, just enough. You know, they haven't bought new jeans since 1981. I mean, that picture in Black Ice with a band there is like a t-shirt. I mean, they're just the most. They look like they could get right off the factory line, and that's part of their charm is. But you just really don't know anything about them. So I'm assuming, like we said, we don't have facts that Malcolm wrote a lot of these riffs. Can we at least go with that?
Isn't it widely accepted? I don't think anybody's disputed it. I mean, he's listed as a songwriter in every song with Angus and whoever the singer is.
Yeah, so, but with that said, you had a question. We're talking offline about how many, like, Let There Be Rock is a title track. So how many, I guess, albums are named after a track on the album?
How many of their albums have a title track? Yeah.
That's what I mean.
What's the final score, Luce?
Well, I'm just going to kind of go back. I can kind of go backwards just in my head right now. I don't even have it in front of me, but Rock or Bust is obviously one. Black Ice. Before that was Stiff Upper Lip. Then we go Razor's Edge, a Ball Breaker. That we're all 100% on these so far.
Razor's Edge and, has one?
Yeah, Razor's Edge. Blow Up.
There's a song called Razor's Edge?
Yeah, it's track 4. It's probably one of the best songs on there. I know you're not a fan of that album, really. Blow Up Your Video is not a title track, but it is a lyric in That's the Way I Want to Rock and Roll, yep. I think.
But that doesn't count.
Nope. Fly on the Wall, yes.
Yeah.
Flick the Switch, yes.
Yep.
Let There Be Rock, obviously. Back in Black.
Highway to Hell.
Those About to Rock. Power Rage is not.
That's one.
Two. What was the second one?
Blow Up Your Video.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, that one. And High Voltage.
Dirty Deeds, TNT.
TNT. That's it. Yeah, Jailbreak. That's it.
There's only
two. Wow. Okay.
What a bunch of uncreative bastards. Balls, title tracks, and rock.
I know. Unreal. So, yeah. What do you want to talk about next? Do you have anything else in the news? You want me to go on one of my personal tragedies? What do you want?
Let's check in with Brandvold real quick.
I mean, Christine 16? Hello, people. It's not like...
Okay, then. All right. If I was Angus Young, I'd have some kind of counter that shows, like, every time I make another penny or a dollar, just... Ting, ting. And a little off topic, but that's what I would do if I was him.
He should wear a Fitbit during a show and just see how much he lost during the show. That's pretty impressive.
He loses 50 pounds every show.
I think so. 50 pounds is a fact.
I heard some kind of ridiculous thing like 20 pounds. I'm like, so how does he gain 20 pounds by the next show? Because the guy weighs 100 pounds. He's only got 5 shows before he's nothing.
Is that like Michael Phelps, where Michael Phelps eats like 10,000 calories a day or something like that? He's got to restock the Angus. Give me a break. But okay, so let's go into...
The fact about Mike Phelps is that he also sticks his dick in the fish mouth.
What are you talking about? Oh, he's had acquisition. He's like the Aquaman. Aquaman's getting assault charges too.
And he eats at Subway.
That's right. Terrible. Oh, that is true. He's associating with Jared. It is awful. The world is awful. Terrible, terrible place.
Listen to more. Every
once in a while, when I think I'm a bad person, sometimes I realize that I'm actually a very good person. So, all right. Next up, I am going to do... You can make arguments that the most famous tracks by AC/DC, the ones we all know, it's all about the riff, right? I mean, come on. You can put an argument there, and so we could just play all of those. I'm going to play one that as I was going through this, I was like, man, off an album that has nothing but great songs, this one is a standout, and it's the first time they got together with Mutt Lange, and it is the track that, oddly, I never understood how they had a live album called this before
right on,
Highway to Hell. And that's If You Want Blood, You've Got It. Was there any time also that you're kind of like, I remember when some kid had a Highway to Hell t-shirt and it had the little double horns and the tail from Angus on the cover or whatever. I mean, did that devil imagery ever kind of like, it's so cartoonish now, but when you were a kid, I thought,
much more serious as a child.
Antichrist devil child, and my parents were like, AC/DC means you're gay or bisexual. I mean,
well, that one actually, you know, there is some history to it. Stuff like the Antichrist devil child, or the things that people would find as a backwards message, like Stairway to Heaven has that My Sweet Satan. I'm like, sure, these aren't really the kind of things that you would, hey, what should we call our band? Antichrist devil's child. And we'll say, you know, it's like, nah, it's more like the term, it's more believable even for me when I was young that AC/DC was the name they picked and someone tagged that onto it. Like,
sure,
Knights in Satan's Service was kind of silly. Yeah, yeah. It just didn't roll off the tongue like, you know, Lutheran Church.
LC, Lutheran Church.
But I believed, you know, there was some darkness to a lot of that music that now does, sure, like you said, it seems cartoony. And it's kind of, you know, coincidentally been kind of the downfall of the greatness of rock in many ways, is that it's not scary anymore. Manson was probably the last guy that actually scared people.
Yep.
But
so what do you want to talk about next?
Well, I got two Grammy questions for you.
Sure. Hit it.
Out of the best new artist category, whose career are you rooting for to come to an end by them winning the Grammy?
Go ahead.
You've heard of any of these people? Alyssa Cara?
Nope.
Khalid? Ooh. Who? We have a little. Lil Uzi Vert?
You're kidding me. Is that like the son of Lil Wayne?
I don't know. Lil Wayne going. Fuck Lil Kim and they got Lil Uzi Vert.
That's a hell of a family.
Yeah, Julia Michaels and SZA. All I can say is that I guarantee I won't like any of them. And you know the whole history with Best New Artist that, you know, like, yeah, Milli Vanilli won it and Alana Miles. Basically, it's a career killer.
Right.
So who you got in the Best Roots Gospel Album?
Oh, easily Sister Rosetta Thorpe.
Okay, yeah. She didn't make the list this year.
And Link Ray and I think, I don't know. I can't think of some funny names right now.
Okay, let's move on. What do you got?
Some tragedy. So let me tell you a little fantasy that you know, we've been in Colorado for a year and a half. So what kind of fantasy do you think a mom would have of going to, you know, someplace just hot and steamy to a winter wonderland around Christmas time? What's a theme? What's something she would want her kids to experience maybe in the mountains?
Well, until you said kids, I was going sex act.
I know, so I was setting you up for that.
Well, it could be sex with the kids in another room and they don't know. It's like dangerous.
What does that have to do with being in Colorado, though?
You know, that would have to be on a mile high.
No, one of the themes is like, because she's never been around snow, was let's go into the mountain and go cut down a tree and take it back. And that will be our Christmas.
Oh.
Many years ago, 4 years ago, we bought what we thought was a spectacular deal. And that is something I never thought I'd really have, which was a used Mercedes. It was only 4 years old. It had 26,000 miles. We got it for $19,000. It was in perfect shape, impeccable. And I was like, this makes sense. We can get this. It's almost under warranty, not by the year, but by the mileage. It goes, how could this go wrong? How, Baco? How could this go wrong? So up to this point, we have had everything go wrong with this car. The computer board went down, the things that balance the tires in the back.
Windshield wipers.
No, it wasn't that. There's been probably $10,000 put into this car over this time. And last month was the final payment. I paid off the man. No more monthly payment for this thing. Everything's going to be fine after, like, the whole exhaust system being fixed. So this is the car we picked to go in the mountains, by the way, okay? To get this fucking tree.
Well, it's big. You need it. Yeah.
Yeah, you got it big. And but we don't have anything. We don't have the thing on the top to put the tree on there. So I've always said we're going to get the Charlie Brown tree. We'll cut this fucker down for the kids so they can be thrilled with it. We shove it in the back. And then I'm sucking out pine needles for the next, 2 days. Take it back. But you want this? That's fine. So we drive all the way up to Copper Mountain, okay? You got this?
I'm listening.
Drive all the way up to Copper Mountain. We go cut down the tree. We put the tree in the car. We then start going down the mountain, and there's a problem, and that is the car will not get out of first gear. Got it?
Yeah, I've actually driven cars with that exact problem.
Okay, well, the great thing about being on a mountain, though, with a like 5% slope going down is the fact that you have to go in neutral. So I was going down neutral.
I got a question, though. Like, where you just, like, voyaging off to wherever you feel like and just cutting a tree down out of the wilderness? Are you going to an actual tree farm that allows you to do this?
No, I just go to normal people's homes and resorts and start cutting down trees. No, there's a silly thing. Last year we did it for the first time. You actually have to go get a permit from some forestry office, which is just a way for them to make $10.
Okay.
But then you go into this. Everything in Colorado basically is a national forest. And these are not like amazing trees. They're like pretty shitty trees. But anyway, yeah, so you go into this one area that's near Copper Mountain. You just cut down a goddamn tree and you throw it in the back of your car. But it's the whole experience of it. But here's how it ends up. I'll just get to this. We break down after going down in neutral for like an hour off the top of this mountain into this town called Frisco. Have to end up getting a hotel, getting the car flatbedded like 90 miles away or whatever it is back to where that's going to be.
90 you know miles? It's gonna... How far did you go? Well, 90 miles at least.
In short, we had to stay overnight. We had to have a buddy of ours pick us up all the way out there. An Uber was $170 if we were going to take that home. Oh, and, you know, I know this thing is going to be expensive as hell.
Yeah.
The get home, and it was at the dealership for 5 days. Cost me $1,200. It was the speed sensor thing that they had. But the thing is, the guys are there. They're like, what do you want me to do with this tree in the backyard? And they're like, so the tree, the whole time my wife's like, how can you get the tree back? I'm like, throw the tree in the fucking dumpster. I don't care. The tree's dead. The whole tree's dead, and it smells like one of those, the most potent, my car still smells like, you know those little things you hang in the rearview mirror. That's what it sounds like. It smells very festive. It is dead, and that's the end of it. So
$1,200.
$1,200, dead tree. That was my weekend.
Well, I don't know how to segue out of that. So again, we'll just go back to the Cobras and Fire Hard Left. Back to the AC/DC, and my third song of my third favorite AC/DC song today is on the same album you just picked. Do you want to take a crack at which one I'm going to whip out here?
It's off of Highway to Hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, there's so many good ones. Let me pick. If
guess.
I was going to pick one, and I don't think it's the greatest riff, but I think that's an amazing song.
No. What am I picking? Do you remember?
Oh, I know. Okay. I'm just saying in general. Like Night Prowler is incredible.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
I love the. End this show with Nanu Nanu. Just pick. I mean, you can throw a dart and pretty much pick a gem on that album.
Touch Too Much.
Making love.
She wanted it hard. She wanted it fast. She liked it done medium rare. Genius lyrics.
Indeed.
Bon Scott was a good lyricist.
Absolutely. Drink.
Drink. Coffee. It's in the morning. But yeah, man. So we're going to talk about a couple. And by the way, this is all respect to Malcolm Young. We just don't have anything to say about the guy. There's nothing really to talk about with him.
I've never into their band history like I would with Kiss or even like bands like Led Zeppelin or the Misfits. And yeah, they're just not a band I know a lot about.
They're not a personality band. That's what it
is.
It's all about the rock and that's it. But I will say, and I'm glad that we talked about this because I almost forgot. Do you own all of AC/DC's albums?
Least in like a digital format. I don't know physical, but.
Yeah, I have. I went and bought. And by the way, still, if you're going to buy the physical albums, the reissues that came out like a decade ago that they did were really good.
I have a few of them.
Tons of good liner notes and things like that. I own.
Oh, I don't have the new one. Sorry, I haven't even heard it.
Oh, okay. Well, I had the new album.
The most recent one, Rock Balls Bust.
It is horrible. Terrible. 35 minutes of junk. There's not a single thing that's memorable on it at all. It makes Black Eyes seem like Back in Black.
I didn't mind Black Eyes.
It was okay. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. That's how much better that album is. But going with this, I own Bonfire. I own that box set. I have at least a couple of their DVDs. I am pretty much have everything that they've ever... I know I have everything they've had. But I've never seen them live is my point. Ever.
Oh, you know what? Me either. It's gotten to the point now where it's like, shit, how is it that I never once went to an AC/DC concert?
Same with me. I mean, like, they're a band that, well, part of it, I think, is they never play fests, except it's like, unless it's in Europe
they do, but not here.
Right. But they're never like the headliner at any type of fest in the United States, or ever have been, I don't think, at least since, because I would have seen them, the time I probably would have seen them the most would be right around the early 90s, like Razor's Edge. They fell off for me on Ballbreaker, and then didn't really care for Stiff Upper Lips. So there's a lot of things where they kept putting out shitty albums, I think, that I just kind of didn't want to do it. But I think a part of it was the cost was so huge. Maybe not then. I mean, what would be the reason you didn't see them?
You know, a little bit has to do with just interest. I don't know. I don't doubt that I would love an AC/DC show. I've seen some Blu-rays of theirs, and they sound amazing and they're fun concerts. But I don't know. They were never my band. It even took me a while to accept how great they are. You know, I almost had this weird competition of them against Kiss, which makes no sense now. But, you know, it was kind of like I liked songs, but I wouldn't really allow myself to really be AC/DC guy. But, you know, by college age, I was into it, you know. So I had plenty of opportunities to go with friends, and I just passed for money. Timing is probably the biggest, the shortest answer there, I suppose.
Yeah, part of it with me is if I was always a Bon Scott guy, and I never really liked the Brian Johnson versus live.
I like Brian Johnson, though.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that when I would hear the live versions, they usually play about half and half versus the eras or 75-25 or whatever. And I never really liked the way that he did his songs too. But that's it is an oddity though. There's no other band that I have, none that I have all their stuff. Even if it's like three or four albums I've probably seen any band that I actually enjoy live, you know, especially one of this caliber.
I have every album by Vamp, and I've never seen them live. I have every Badlands record, and I've never seen them live. I have every Vinnie Vincent Invasion record, never seen them live.
it is true, though.
Point, because you know, I'm obviously joking with bands that had one or two records. But
sure, but... I mean, I just pulled up Wikipedia, and here is the current AC/DC lineup since Malcolm is gone. Stevie Young, which is a cousin or a brother or
nephew of Malcolm.
Nephew of whatever. And then it also Axl Rose, Angus, obviously, and then Cliff Williams, which was the drummer on the last tour, and I think Razor's Edge, but not, you know. It is bizarre. I mean, what is that? Do you think they're going to keep going? I think they are.
I got Angus a weird feeling they are, too. I don't... that whole money counter thing would be enough incentive for me at Angus's age to give it up. But you know what? It's not like he tours in a van. You know, it might be just a shit ton of fun for him. But I'm starting to hear like inklings of like him kind of not being the greatest guy.
Well, I don't think he is a very good. I mean, he does very rare interviews. He mumbles through them. That's another thing. You just don't know anything about him. But then, and also, we should say, not to forget, is also is George Young of the, you know, the family that did the majority of their album recordings. He died too this year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So basically, there's only him and maybe Stevie left. I don't know. Anyway, so it's just interesting. He's like the last man holding the flag. He's the only original member left. One.
Wow.
But bizarre. Anyway, let's talk about some current events. I just wanted to at least clarify because I thought of that we'd never seen him live, which is just an oddity.
I have some shame I need to share, if that's okay.
Please. We love shame.
There is a new 30 Seconds to Mars song out, and I like it.
Is that the one with the actor?
Yeah, Jared Leto. God, I hate that.
That's the second you've had. Can you think of a douchier lead singer than that guy?
Oh, my God. There is nothing redeeming about him. Look, I don't know him personally, and I'm probably judging him unfairly because I don't pay that much attention, but fuck him. Fuck his dumb career. He's the male Beyonce. Apparently, that's my thing now is to compare people to a female.
That's a Rotten Tomatoes guy though, because I am insisted upon that he is a good actor.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I don't think he's bad. I just don't think that when I see him do something, I go, my God, brava, Joker. Oh, God.
Yeah. No,
and
I
by
know.
The
I
mean, way, but anybody, now, I wouldn't mind if the Oscars lightened up a bit, but they're not going to. Can people stop talking about superhero movies, which, by the way, are the most carbon copy, cookie cutter garbage that they put out there? Stop talking about, like, maybe this is the one where they get an Oscar. No. Wonder Woman's not fucking winning Best Picture.
No. All this, I stopped watching superhero movies about 5 years ago.
Iron Man 2 is the last one I liked.
Yeah, I liked Iron Man 3, actually. That was actually the last one.
I own
one
it and haven't watched it. I've had it for like 4 years.
What, Iron Man 3?
Yeah. So you're
that one
to
actually.
Put it in, huh?
It's written and I think directed by, but at least written by the guy that did all the Lethal Weapon movies and stuff. So it's actually more of
you're
a crime
really
movie
it.
Than a.
You're not selling it.
Am I selling it or you didn't like
it?
No,
you're
Weapon?
Not selling it very good. Lethal Weapon. Ooh, boy, that's a movie franchise that just got.
Oh, my. Are you fucking kidding me?
First one is great.
That's all I'm saying. That's the guy that wrote that one.
Okay,
Jesus.
But 2, 3, 4, and 5 are.
Well, yeah, it's a declining scale.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the Indiana Jones trilogy, series. It got better every time.
Where it's all bad.
This is the thing about Jared Leto. Does not he seem exactly like somebody that would be chosen as the winner for The Voice?
Yes. Or,
like American Idol?
Yeah. Yeah. He does. You know what he looks
for anything,
like?
If there was an acting guy
that one of our friends would say. You should really start watching The Voice this year. They have a rocker guy.
You know, and
it's just a guy with an acoustic guitar and long hair. To them, that's what I like.
If there was a show that was like The Voice, except it was called like The Actor, he would win The Actor. Yeah. You know, just this whole competition of acting. Yes! Jared Leto! Number one! Anyway.
Do you like any 30 Seconds to Mars? You checked him out at all?
I've never. Just tell me the name of the song. We'll play a little clip of it right now.
Okay, it's called Walk on Water.
Can you even see what you're fighting for? Bloodlust and a holy war. Listen up, hear the patriots shout. Times are changing. In the end, my choice was clear. Take a shot in the face of fear.
Let's pan up Michael one last time.
I mean, look at him. He's got the long tongue that he's always wagging around. He's got the sex tape that's been out there. This is nothing new, people. A lot of people act like, he's the worst.
I guess integrity is just something you either have or you don't. Anyway, let's move on. I want to introduce a segment I'd like to call Things Eric Meller Posted on Facebook This Week.
Ooh, quick description of Eric Meller. Who is he?
Well, he's the host of Pods and Sods, co-host, and along with Craig Miller, are both reasonably attractive men for their age.
I agree, and also he has guested on our Living Color episode, and I'm surprised if he actually does like you after your performance on that episode.
Yeah, me.
Continue.
But anyway, he posts a lot of stuff. He's very active politically, things of that nature. But he also tends to just kind of share random thoughts from time to time. And that would be something that I would feature. Would you like to hear my selection for this introduction of what Eric Miller said on Facebook?
Yeah, so this is kind of like deep thoughts with Eric Miller, something like that, or just comments?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Baco.
You know your Netflix well has run dry when you're considering Frasier reruns.
We should do it for the little something like that.
For some reason this grabbed me because it was just like Frasier is your go-to example of bad television. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on Netflix. Maybe you don't like Frasier, but this is how you know the well's dry.
Is that it, Baco? This is it? I thought this was things that Eric Miller said, not thing.
Well, next episode I'll have another thing, and then we'll have things.
I don't know. I was expecting a lot more things.
You were expecting more than Frasier?
I was expecting more than Frasier.
Lilith!
That's it?
That's it. What do you got?
All right. Well, that's the preview of the next segment of things we're going to try to do consecutively on the show, which will not happen. Guarantee we'll forget it when we do it. Remember, just like we try to do the Cobras on Fire and completely bypass that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, I should say this, and I'm going to just squeeze it in here if you don't mind. When I was doing the 100th episode editing, Adam Cox actually lined up a little snippet of Michael Caine, the famous English actor, congratulating us on 100 years, and I actually had it prepped and sitting on the desktop. So Adam went to a lot of work to get this done. I feel we should throw it in there. Is it okay if I just do a hard snip and drop it in here?
Hello. My name is Michael Caine, and I'm coming to you from the set of this latest pile of doggy do called Jaws 4. Marvellous. I'll get my Oscar for that. And I'm just here to say congratulations to those filthy scumbags, Cobras and Fire. Cobras and Fire, what's that about then? Congratulations, boys. You got to 100 episodes. Very tasty. All right, boys. Well, see you soon. Take care. I'm off to fight rubber shark called Bruce.
Hats off to Adam Cox for lining a big star like Michael Caine up.
Yeah, Baco, so let's wind this down. I got one last pick and everything, and I have a lot of, like, runners up that I want to mention too, but this is our last episode.
We're doing three songs, so you come with 50. You're the Gene Simmons, and I'm Paul. I come in just the right amount of quality material, and you just have a smorgasbord of crap that you're trying to filter through. You don't like that? You're sad now?
I'm not sad. I'm not going to go through my runners up. What was your first AC/DC album, though? Did you actually physically go out, spend your own money?
It was either Let There Be Rock or I think it was Dirty Deeds.
First album that I had was Blow Up Your Video. Not a great album, but that was my first. And I think we talked about it offline a little bit. You said that now when AC/DC is trying to make albums, they can't be like the AC/DC of 1980. Isn't that
right?
Kind of what you said?
They keep trying, but they can't write you know, back in black again. It'll never be like that. So I'm not sure what the answer is to make them great. Like, I thought Black Ice was okay.
Yeah, but with that said, I don't think that they were the AC/DC of 1980 by 1981. I mean, the follow-up for Back in Black, you want to talk about declining returns. You see a Highway to Hell, you can say that
no
Highway
shit.
To Hell is better.
No shit.
That, but for those about to rock, we salute you.
Yeah.
Kids, go back to that album. I remember I finally bought it because that's one of my favorite songs by them. You just, mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Great, great final song of the night and everything like that. But that album, after that song is done playing, is there any song you like on that album?
No, I've never been a big fan of that song, to be honest with you. It's okay.
Okay, okay. But either way, that song is
it
just
is
a
the
turd.
Best song on there, if I can recall, but I really don't remember the record that well.
Easily. They have, and then right after that, they fire Mutt Lang. They do Flick of the Switch, Fly in the Wall, and then that was the Blow Up Your Video. I mean, talk about like a, what are they, I'm just saying, like for a band that had one of the big, has one of the biggest selling albums of all time, for that decline in both quality and popularity, they basically vanished kind of for
well, they
for
had
the
a
good
big comeback with the Iron Man soundtrack.
No, but it wasn't until Razor's Edge where they started getting their steam back.
That album's fucking dog shit.
I don't think it's dog shit. It hasn't aged that well. I really liked it when it came out. I can't believe you were somebody that does not like Thunderstruck, though.
Oh, God. Yeah. I love the riff.
Did you never... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's no... It was more the melodies, the lyrics, and Brian Johnson's morphing into Donald Duck that kind of got me away from AC/DC through the 80s into the early 90s.
But it does. Brian Johnson has always been polite. The lyric "Can I come and you please?"
Yes.
is very polite in that that song.
That's why he's not getting any of these allegations of treating people wrong. You know, he's like, "Is it okay
asks,
if I come inside you?" Yeah.
He's very polite. Always wears a nice hat. He's a good man. So all right. So you want to be done with this? Let me. I'm gonna hurry and get you out of here so you can get back to Applebee's. Okay.
Okay.
Get your drink on. So. We are going to – one of them that I had as a contender was Down Payment Blues because that's my favorite Angus Young solo. But that's really not about the riff as much as it is the solos on that. So that one's on there. Jailbreak was
ooh,
on my –
that was a close contender on my list.
Yeah, okay, great. But from the riff to the song, like the whole – and he almost made it out, and he made it out.
With the bullet in his back.
Just however that's done. That is just – I can't believe that was one of the first songs they recorded too.
I know.
You know what I mean? From – perfect storytelling. That could have been a story song. But I am going to finish this with one of the first songs I ever heard by them was off the Who Made Who soundtrack, and undeniable riff, and that is Shake Your Foundations.
Nice.
Rock's not dead.
It's passed out under a table at Applebee's.
And the sampler platter just arrived.
check Applebee's.com to see a location near you. You ever seen the back of the Creatures of the Night non-makeup cover where it's a girl's butt?
Yes.
Do you want to talk about, speculate on a little bit that might be Paul's ass?
Not particularly.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.